If you have your Bible with you, please, will you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to break into the chapter at verse 11. It may be a strange place to begin, but I want to break in there at verse 11 and read one or two of these verses together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is of course the Apostle Paul's last letter. He's coming to the end of the journey. He will soon be in the presence of the one that he has served now for many, many years. And it's wonderful to see what he was thinking about as he drew near to the end. I wonder what you will be thinking about when it comes to death. What will be in your mind? What will be in your heart? Will you have assurance that all will be well? Or will you die in fear of the future, trembling as a lost soul coming to cross over into eternity? Well, from the writings of the Apostle Paul, we know that he had confidence and he had great assurance. He was ready to be offered in the time of my departure is at hand, he said. So keep that in mind as we read these few verses, as he comes to near the end of the journey. He says, only look as with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. There was a time when he wasn't profitable, but now he was profitable. As a young man, he went back, but now Paul saw something in him, worthy, something that he could find encouragement in. He is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Can you imagine that? This great man, this great apostle of Jesus Christ, the man who's given to us a greater part of the New Testament, he's all alone. But then you go on to read verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then if you look at the opening part of verse 21, I want to use this as my text for tonight. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And may it please the Lord to bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Do thy diligence to come before winter. The Glen of Weeping was the name given to Glencoe in the Highlands of Scotland after that terrible massacre there in the year 1692, the chief of the MacDonald clan, a man called MacIan by name, was a very stubborn old man. The English government issued a proclamation calling upon all the rebel chiefs to take the oath of allegiance to King William before the 1st of January, 1692. All who failed to do so would be recognized as rebels and treated as such and punished accordingly. The chiefs of the various clans, knowing that failure to take the oath would be fatal, they offered their allegiance, they signed the allegiance to William before that time expired. But proud old MacIan, he, as I said, was a very stubborn man, and he boasted that he would not do it until the very last day of the year, the 31st of December. He intended to go there, he intended to sign his allegiance to William, but unfortunately he left it all too late. And when he realized that they must appear in person before the magistrates in Inverary to take the oath, the awful folly of his decision and the awful folly of his delay suddenly dawned on him. The task was nigh impossible because the mountains that he had to cover were complete, to cross were completely covered with snow. And he realized that he had been a fool. But with great courage and feverish haste, they set off to get to the appointed place at the appointed time. It was an arduous task. Exhausted, he struggled into Inverary on January the 4th. The day of grace, or the deadline had passed. He was too late. Now, the governor of Scotland at the time, he personally hated MacIan. In fact, he hated the whole MacDonald clan. That's the kind of man he was. And when he learned that MacIan had not submitted at the appointed time, he secretly rejoiced and determined on the destruction of the whole clan. It was a terrible act. It was a treacherous act. Treachery and deceit marked the whole ruthless plan. A few weeks later, 120 soldiers led by a Captain Campbell arrived in Glencoe, appearing friendly and partaking of the hospitality of the MacDonalds. They remained there for 2 weeks. Then one cold February morning of gale and snow, the fatal blow fell. MacIan was shot dead. His wife suffered the same fate. In all, 38 MacDonalds were slain in cold blood that grim snowy morning. What a plan. What a terrible disaster. What a tragedy that was. Only the darkness and the blizzard enabled some to escape to tell the story. The solemn lesson of that fateful morning in Glencoe can be summed up in two words. Too late. Too late. Now, I think that there is a spiritual lesson that we can glean from that sad story tonight, especially in relation to the salvation of your never-dying soul. Perhaps someone here tonight is making the same mistake personally and spiritually. You are procrastinating. You know in your own heart that what the preacher says from this pulpit week by week is true. Your loved ones have shared the gospel with you on many occasions. They've prayed for you for years. They love you in Christ. Nothing would delight their hearts more than hearing of you coming to trust in Jesus Christ. But you have been procrastinating, maybe saying to yourself, well, I intend to get right with God someday. I trust that tonight that you will give particular attention to the appeal that is set forth in my text for tonight. Do thy diligence to come before winter. This was an important deadline given to Timothy by Paul, who wrote these words shortly before his death. And at the time he was a prisoner in the city of Rome, and he was anxious again to see Timothy, a preacher of the gospel, a young man that he dearly loved as a son in the faith. Hence the words of our text. However, I want to lift these words out of their proper setting, out of their proper context, and use them as the basis of my gospel message tonight. In this light, I believe them to be very appropriate for a meeting like this. Let me show you what I mean. Do thy diligence to come before winter. First of all, there is the appeal Paul makes here. He says, do thy diligence to come. Now, this was an appeal by a father figure, if you like, to a dearly beloved son in the faith who was separated from him at that particular point of time. Paul dearly loved Timothy, and I do believe that he was the one who pointed Timothy to the Savior. But there was a great distance separating them physically. Timothy was in Ephesus, and Paul was now a prisoner in the city of Rome. However, the apostle sought a reunion. He wanted to meet Timothy again before it was too late, hence the appeal. Because Paul knew that he would die soon. And he wanted to see his beloved son in the faith before death prevented that happening. Now apply that in the gospel. Our loving Father sends many glorious invitations in the gospel to men to repent. Time and time and time again we hear that word, come. Come, for all things are ready. Come, come, come. That's the invitation. It's simple, isn't it? The child here can understand that word, come. Child, if your dad or mom says to you, come, you know what it's meant. And in the gospel, the message is, come, for all things are ready. So the Lord in the gospel sends out this glorious invitation, come. He wanted to be reconciled with Timothy again. Why do we need to be reconciled to God? Well, the word of God is very clear. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's it. That's the truth. That's the reality. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Far from God, estranged from God, from the mother's womb. And if we continue on that course, we will perish. We will come down to that place called hell, that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Two sisters were separated for many years due to some kind of issue in the home. They remained that for a long period of time until one of their relatives died. And when one of the sisters heard about this, that her sister's relative had died, that brought about a reconciliation. It took death to bring them together. And it took the death of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross to bring about this reconciliation between God and man. And it cost him his life. It cost him his life's blood. He offered himself as a sacrifice to God because there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He had to be who he was to do what he did. And it cost him his life. It cost God his Son. And it cost Christ his life. And what does it cost the sinner? It comes to us freely, by grace, freely bestowed. It's not what these hands can do that brings peace with God. It's the work of Christ that brings us peace with God. It's the atoning blood. It's the life he lived. It's the life he gave. It's the life he laid down. And thank God he had power to take it again. And they ascended to God's right hand, and he lives there in the power of an endless life. But one of these days, out of blue skies, Christ will come. That's the next great event, I suppose, in the history of the whole world, when Jesus Christ comes again in power and splendor and great glory. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before it's too late, and because you need a Savior. Because you need to be reconciled to God. You need to be justified. You need to be given a perfect standing before God. Or heaven you'll never see. Remember, the first time that word come is found in the Bible, it's in the book of Genesis. God revealed his mind to Noah. I'm going to destroy the world, Noah. But the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's grace in the Old Testament in this very story. And what did the Lord say to Noah? I want you to build an ark, and that ark is a type of Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in him. Make the ark. God revealed the way. The work was completed. And when the work was finished, upon the basis of that work being finished, God then stood on the inside and said to Noah and his family, come, for all things are now ready. And God was on the inside, and God is in Christ. And God brings men to himself through the work of Christ. And so when the work was finished, the invitation was given, and Noah moved by fear. And he entered in. And God shut him in. And when the storm came and the wrath of God was poured out, only 8 individuals were saved in the ark. 8's the number of a new beginning. And if you want to experience a new beginning with God, enter into Christ and be saved. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb and be saved from wrath and judgment. And God looked upon the pitch that speaks to us of the atonement of Christ. And God was satisfied with that. And then it was pitched on the inside for the benefit of Noah. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And here this man and his wife and sons were on the inside, and they found assurance there. The water will never get through the pitch. So God looks down upon those in Christ, and he accepts them in the beloved. And for those in the ark, they have this assurance. We're safe in Christ to all eternity. It's good to be safe. It's good to be safe in the ark. Good to be saved. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thine husband? Is it well with the child? This is a family text. Is it well with your soul tonight, young man? Is it well with thee tonight, teenager? Is it well with thee, father? Is it well with thee, mother? What about you, grandfather? Is it well with your soul? How will you do in the swelling of Jordan? How will you fare in that day when you're called out to meet God? Remember the lament of David when his son Absalom died. Proud young man, an arrogant young man, who rejected David, by the way. David is a type of Christ the Beloved. Absalom rejected David. Remember the time when David had to flee over the brook Kidron and up the Mount of Olives? That's a prefiguring of Christ, you see. That actually did happen to Christ. And so when Absalom rejected David, he was rejecting Christ. We know how he died. And when the news came to David, what did he cry? Oh, Absalom, my son. Oh, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. Why did he do that? Because he realized Absalom was in hell. He was lost. Is that where you want to go? Is that where you want to end up? In a Christless eternity? Don't forget that lament. Oh, Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Flee to the ark. Flee to Christ. Get under the blood and know peace with God through that atoning sacrifice on Calvary's cross. I'm sure you've heard this many times before, but there was only one door in the ark. And Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we know that the door of the ark was placed in the side of the ark. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the door, when he was hanging there on the cross, the instruction was to the soldiers, break their legs. But when this particular soldier came to Jesus, he realized he was dead already. No point in breaking the legs. So what did he do? He took the spear and he plunged it into the side of Christ, and out came the water and the blood. the cleansing blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawing from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Let all their guilty stain. Hallelujah. There's power in Jesus' blood. It can cleanse you tonight. It can make you a child of God tonight. It can bring you nigh to God tonight. You can be saved tonight in this very building by the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to get in through that door, by the way. Remember how the door of the ark was left open for a further 7 days. Came in one by one. In the Old Testament, salvation was found in the place in the ark. In the New Testament, it's found in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is altogether lovely. Gaze upon him tonight. Gaze upon the bleeding substitute. Gaze upon the bleeding lamb, the lamb of God for sinners slain. Look to him by faith tonight. Flee from wrath and get under the blood and be saved by his grace. The tract was given many years ago to someone who was living in Omagh. My friend Ronnie McLean told me about this many years ago. He was drunk, I think, the man who received this invitation. He said, "I'll wait." That very same week, he was ushered into eternity. He was killed. I think he may have left it far too late. A supporter of Glenavon was going into the match one day, and the group that goes there on a regular basis handed a gospel tract to this man. The man died in the stand. Died in the stand. Come now. Now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now is the accepted time. Now, the Word of God doesn't paint a very favorable picture of sinners. You come to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, the picture is not a very favorable one. Right from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no soundness in them. But you know what happened in the cleansing of the leper in Leviticus chapter 14. You've heard this before, but I remind you about it again. There was a ceremony that had to be performed that's deeply significant. The blood of the sacrifice had to be taken, and it was dipped by the priest on the tip of the leper's right ear, and then on the tip of the leper's right thumb, and then on the tip of the leper's big toe. I can't get my leg up here to show you the big toe. And that's deeply significant, indicating that from head to toe, the sinner was cleansed by the atoning blood, or by the blood that points us to the atoning blood of Christ. Dealing with the whole sin problem from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no soundness in it, but there's cleansing through the atoning precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that leper in the gospel who came to Jesus? He was full of leprosy. He came to Jesus, and what was his request? Make me clean. Make me clean. Do you have a desire to be clean tonight? Do you have a desire to be fit for heaven? Do you really want to go to heaven? Do you want to be present when the roll is called up yonder? Do you want to be there with the redeemed of God? Well, if you do, you need to pray, "Lord, make me clean." You need to pray like Peter out there in the Sea of Galilee, "Lord, save me. Make me clean." This was the appeal made by Paul. Do thy diligence to come. Secondly, there's the advice Paul gives here. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come. That word diligence means to make haste. It has a secondary meaning. It means to exert oneself, to make an effort. So Paul was really advising young Timothy, hurry up. Don't delay in making your decision to come to meet with me. This is an urgent matter. Make haste. There's no time to waste. And there is no time to waste. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And does that not imply that there's a time coming when men will not be able to find him if they leave it too late? Over there in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, we read these words, strive to enter in. And that word strive means to agonize. As one would contend for a prize in the arena. Now, the cities in those times had walls and gates, of course, and the gates were usually closed at sunset, and a bugle sounded out the fact that the gate was about to close. They're ready to close. So one traveling from a distance who was wanting to get inside the city on that occasion, when they heard the blast of the bugle, the sound of the trumpet, then they realized, if I intend to get in through the gates of the city tonight, I must strive to enter in. I must show great diligence. I must haste to enter in. There was a sense of urgency. I must get in before the gates close, before it's too late. Now, Timothy had a decision to make, to depart to meet with Paul or to stay where he was. You have a decision to make tonight, to remain in your sin and remain where you are, or make preparation to meet God by trusting Jesus Christ for salvation. And you've heard many times the words found in 1 Kings chapter 18, how long halt ye between two opinions? And that word halt simply means, how long do you totter between two opinions? Going from side to side. That was a word given by God's servant to the people of Israel many, many years ago. Those who refused were taken down to the brook by the prophet Elijah and were slaughtered. They were cut off. And others on that occasion heard that same word. They cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And there was some kind of movement towards God on that occasion. But those who refused to come were cut off. The message of the Bible is heaven or hell. That's it, heaven or hell. No purgatory, no in-between place. It's heaven or hell. It's life or death. It's with Christ or without Christ. It's the bliss of heaven or it's the caverns of the damned. There's no in-between place. And it can be settled in a gospel meeting just like this. It can be settled tonight in this building. When you're seated in your pew tonight, a few inches of pew, you can sit there and you can cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and the burden will roll away. You'll be reconciled to God. You'll be justified by faith. You'll become a child of the King and be guaranteed a place in glory. And one day you'll go sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's so simple, you can miss it. It's clear. It's straightforward. It's plain to see. Make no mistake about it. If you refuse this great invitation, for all eternity you'll regret it. Forever and ever and ever and ever, damned and lost. But there's mercy with God. There's a Savior. And his name is Jesus. A young lady attended the mission many, many years ago. And at the end of the meeting that night, she wrote something in the fly leaf of the hymn book. The mission came to an end and she fell ill. And some of the people who had been involved in the mission were concerned about her. And the preacher came back to visit the area again, and it was announced to him, it was made known to him that this young woman was very seriously ill. And the preacher went to see that young woman, and he tried to read the scriptures and pleaded with her to trust in Christ. She was very weak, and this is what she said to him. That night I went to the meeting, I wrote my decision in the fly leaf of the hymn book. The preacher went to the little hall where they had the mission, he found the particular hymn book, and he opened it up, and he found these sad, sad words. I take the chance. I run the risk. the time he got back to the hospital again, she was gone. I take my chance. I run the risk. She didn't leave a testimony behind. Is that you tonight? How many times have you sat in meetings like this or in gospel missions? You've heard faithful preaching and fearful teaching of the Word of God. You've been moved on occasions in meetings like this and you've hardened your neck. You've hardened your heart. He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Just like that. Right into eternity. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Remember that incident in the gospel when Jesus sent his two disciples in Mark chapter 11, and they went to a place to find the colt tied by the door in a place where two ways met, a crossroads. You've come to a crossroads tonight in this very meeting. You didn't think that you would be brought to this place tonight, but you're here by the grace of God. And the Spirit of God now is drawing out and is putting you in the spot and is bringing you to the crossroads tonight, right now. And he's saying to you, choose ye this day, this very night, whom you will serve. Two roads before us lie, and each a choice must make. One upward to the sky, one downward to the lake. Willing to choose the path of woe, each soul must answer yes or no. Is it going to be yes or is it going to be no? Yes or no? What's it going to be down this side? What about you? What about you here? Yes or no? What about those sitting here? Yes or no? What about those over here? Yes or no? Young person, older person, what about you tonight? Yes or no? Solemn, isn't it? There's the appeal Paul makes. There's the advice Paul gives, do thy diligence to come. And finally, there's the argument Paul uses. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Why? Well, because between November and May in those times, the Mediterranean Sea was closed to navigation. The journey would be too dangerous. Travel would be unsafe. It wouldn't be a wise thing to set off. It would be virtually impossible. This was around the fall of AD 67, and Paul was really saying, you better come before winter or you may not be able to come at all. It will be too dangerous. Sailing will be dangerous at that particular point of time. Sailing will be dangerous during winter time. There's danger and death and delay. Haste ye to Christ tonight. Look and believe. Trust in him tonight for salvation. Remember Paul, and I think he really did speak from experience. Remember what happened in Acts chapter 27. Sailing was now dangerous. He gave advice. This is the wrong time to venture forth on a vessel. But they wouldn't listen to him. Some people don't listen, you know. Because in one ear and out the other ear, I'll be okay. You can get all fired up if you like, preacher. I'm not going to listen to you. Paul suffered shipwreck on his way to Rome. In the providence of God, he, along with all those on board, were saved, by the way, delivered. The Bible says that ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. They prepare for winter. Now, if a little ant could speak, and we know that an ant can't speak, what if an ant could speak? What would the message be to a meeting like this? Prepare to meet God. Prepare for winter's coming. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter. Prepare to meet thy God. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. What did the captain say to Jonah on one occasion? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. The vessel is about to sink. Do you not realize how serious the situation is here? The mariners on board the vessel, they were throwing everything overboard to lighten the ship. And there was the servant of God down asleep in the side of the vessel. I think maybe there's a word in season for us all as the people of God. Sometimes we sleep when men perish. And that old captain had a lot of sense. Maybe the captain's message is coming to someone here tonight. Awake, O sleeper. Call upon thy God. Get to the prayer meeting. Get into the house of God. Bring others with you. Get them under the means of grace. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. That's good advice, is it not? What about Ruth? She went out into the harvest field. At the harvest time, she used the time wisely. And she brought home plenty for herself, and she shared it with somebody else. And when God's people are blessed of God and enriched through the Word of God, they have always something to share. We've got good news to share. Jesus saves. He's the bread of life. And when you partake of the bread of life, you'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger again. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never perish. Get in union with him through faith tonight and be satisfied eternally. Be blessed forever. Have your sins forgiven you. Be able to put your head upon the pillow tonight and maybe sleep for the first night, all the night through, knowing that all is well with your soul. And if you should die tonight, as you sleep, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. For the time of our release, child of God. Paul talks about it as a departure. The time of my departure is at hand. Lifting up the anchor, setting out on that great last voyage that lands me safely on eternity's shore. That old servant of God in the prison was rejoicing. And one morning the call came, Paul, it's time to go. I suppose he had his devotions before he left. He looked back in over 30 years of service. And then he came to a certain spot, according to historians, just kneeled down there. The sword falls, and he's with his Lord. Welcome home, Paul. You have fought a good fight. Yes, you did. You've kept the faith. You've finished your course. Welcome home. Welcome home. Come at last. Will that be your eternal destiny, home with the Lord? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. All those who have gone on before, we know that they're at rest, they're with the Lord in their souls. But a day will come when the Lord will come with the souls of the righteous, the dead, and the Lord. There were people at Thessalonica who had concerns about where their departed loved ones were. And Paul wrote, and the five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, they all end with a reference to the second coming of Christ. And Paul expounded to them the doctrine about the resurrection. And he wrote to these believers to tell them, well, the loved ones who have gone on before, they're at rest, and one day they'll come when their souls at the day of the resurrection. And they will be reunited with their bodies. Their bodies will be raised, and the dead, the those who are alive and remain, will be changed and caught up to meet the Lord. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. And the body and the soul will be reunited. And in that moment, all believers will be glorified then at that particular moment of time. Home at last. The climax of redemption. The completion of redemption. When we see Jesus, hallelujah, we're going to see the King, child of God. Glory to God. We're going to see the King.
We're going to see the one who still bears in that glorified body the marks of Calvary in that body. And we're going to be with him forever. And why that happens for the redeemed of God. Those who die in their sins will be summoned to appear before the judge of all the earth. And the judge of all the earth is Christ. And they will hear from the lips of the judge of all the earth, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. You're not part of my body. You're not part of my people." And the Bible says there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Spirit of God is here. The gospel has been preached. The invitation has been given. In the closing moment of the meeting, it's decision time. Now, I don't know if Timothy ever completed that journey. I don't know if he ever got to Rome to meet with Paul again. I don't know for sure. But I know one thing. When Paul went out that day, and when he came to that fateful moment, when he closed his eyes in death, he was with the Lord of glory. I plead with you tonight, in Jesus' name, I plead with you earnestly, be reconciled to him tonight. Trust in him, and get right with God. Do thy diligence to come before winter. All over the gallery tonight, is there one? Is there someone here? Right now, the Spirit of God is working with you. And he's saying to you, this is your night. This is the night. Will you trust him? Will you come? I pray that God in his grace will bring you to himself. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter. May God bless you tonight. And if we can be of any help, if any of the elders can help you, please seek them out. But don't leave the meeting without getting right with God. May God bless you. We'll close now in prayer. Father, we do praise thee for a sense of thy presence with us in this house tonight. We thank thee for the simplicity of the message, the simplicity of the word that has been preached. We ask of thee even now by thy gracious Spirit that thou wilt apply the word to the hearts and minds and consciences of those who need to hear it. And grant it even now. The cry might be arising from some dear heart, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or what must I do to be saved? And thank God the answer that Paul gave is the answer for the meeting tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We pray these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen.